is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Tell me that you need me, then you go and cut me down. But wait, tell me that you're sorry, didn't think I'd turn around. I say that it's too late to apologize.
Good morning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 16th of October, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. It is Thursday. Got to pick up your copy of The Guardian. Copies are selling quickly. Remember, you could always stop by The Guardian building, Number 4 Carter Street, off the UB roundabout, formerly known as the COB roundabout, also known as the Nassau Street roundabout. Come down and grab a copy of the paper. So I got lots to talk about today. I've got two guests. We got a quick ticket giveaway, and then we have a guest joining us from Grand Bahama to talk about a conference taking place starting tomorrow over the weekend called Prophetic Mental Health Conference. And I am very interested in this topic. I'm very interested in the conference, the format, the theme, the perspective, and the guests that have been invited to speak at the conference. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But before we get there, another reason why this conference, I think, is important for other people, not just me, is because it's obvious. If you look around you, it's obvious that people are going through stress. They have mental stresses, psychological stresses. It should be obvious to you that many people are having difficulty, right? They're having difficulty navigating the world around them without like bucking up onto people. I mean that literally and figuratively, right? And so I've realized, and I hope that the powers that be realize, that we need to pay serious attention to the mental health and wellness of our citizens. See, we didn't take this opportunity because sometimes tragedy presents opportunities. We didn't take the opportunity to draw national focus on mental health in the aftermath of Dorian or in the midst of and the aftermath of the COVID pandemic. But the thing about mental health is just like the law, it doesn't care whether you understand or not, it will keep operating, right? And so it's important to me. And y'all see me, hear me talking about it. Some of y'all see me in my car talking to myself about it all the time. The signs are obvious on the public road that people are going through stress. And I wanted to just take a moment as an individual to reach out to the powers that be, right? To take steps to address my own mental health and wellness. I have a particular platform and I go use it for that. Today I'm speaking to a menopause coach and we're speaking to the organizer of a mental health conference. And as a woman that's sitting on the precipice of menopause, right? and is very focused on how these hormonal changes could disrupt or change her mental health. I want to say, dear Commissioner of Police, what am I, a citizen, supposed to do when I encounter people driving in such a reckless manner that injury is imminent, right? And that when you act not to chastise them, but to protect yourself, they respond in violence towards you. And what is a citizen to do, right, when they're on the road and they observe that the people who are responsible for monitoring and enforcing traffic controls refuse to enforce them? And what is a citizen to do when those who are responsible for enforcing traffic controls refuse to follow them? And then what is a citizen supposed to do when they encounter an individual who is driving in a manner that is reckless and likely to cause injury to them, and they alert the driver to the imminent potential danger, and that driver turns around and responds belligerently to them, and then that driver is also a person who's supposed to enforce the law? Like, what is a reasonable response from a road user if they are in the right lane and they observe a car getting ready to enter the roadway from a parking lot without a traffic signal? So the driver puts on their traffic signal to change lanes, and that vehicle throws itself not just into the road, but across the lane it is supposed to enter, into the other lane, becomes frustrated because the driver in front of them is not making enough speed for them, and then they just automatically throw their car back into the right lane, cutting off the driver behind them that is already adjusting for their behavior and is using a turn signal to do it. What are sensible, regular, right-thinking people supposed to do on the road when the people who are responsible for enforcing traffic controls are not only committed to breaking them, but they act belligerently to the people that have an expectation that they're going to do the right thing? It is maddening. It is maddening because when someone sees a reckless driver on the road, they say, hey, don't watch nothing. The police can see them soon enough because they cut in a movie. And then you realize that the police are right behind them cutting the sequel. Anyway, I've got guests in the Zoom room and text to know I'm not just talking about jitneys. Red plates, blue and white plates, corps of diplomat plates, magistrate plates, judges plates, MP plates, cabinet minister plates, police cars, government agencies, a slew of commercial vehicles. Just let ordinary citizens know what they are supposed to expect on the road, because it is maddening. And many drivers, including elderly drivers, are now afraid to go on the road because you risk assault, battery and assault, because you're following the law now. Anyway, another text. And the police do that all the time, break people's side mirrors on the regular. Yeah. Commissioner of Police, we want a healthy relationship with the police. It requires work on both sides. Anyway, let's go to my first guest in the Zoom room. Good morning, Patrice Lockhart.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you today? Well, I've heard, how are you today?
Listen, I am in perimenopause, and I'm about to enter the We Do Not Care Club. I have to focus on my mental health. And I'm so glad that I have both guests in studio with me this morning. So, Patrice, this month is Menopause Awareness Month?
Yes, this month is Menopause Awareness Month, and I'm so happy you touched on mental health as it relates to us as a people, because culturally, we don't like to touch that subject. And in menopause, we have so many women dealing with the mental and emotional aspects of menopause. We have women dealing with anxiety, women dealing with depression, women dealing with mood swings, irritability, and trying to figure out why this is happening, what's going on. And I have to tell women, listen, you're not broken. Nothing's wrong with you. What happened for us as menopausal women, women going into this transition, is that we weren't told that menopause impacts our brain.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a part of our brain that's responsible for emotions that's not getting the support it's been getting. So we, you know, to right now, you could be fine. 10 minutes from now, you could be crying. I have women say to me, Patrice, I haven't cried from a little girl. Why am I crying? Or why am I so emotional?
Mm-hmm.
And it's an understanding, because a lot of women come to me telling me, thinking they're going crazy. And I tell them, no, you're not. Your brain just needs support during this time. And because we've not been prepared for it, when it hits us, we don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. We deal with cultural biases that say, oh, she crazy, or she touched crack, or she's schizo. Mm-hmm. And so women tend to go under with it. In our country, they tend to try and hide it. Women in the church, women in business tell me that, you know, because they don't get, you know, there's no support in the organization, they can't tell their boss they're dealing with this or dealing with that. They just have to show up to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are impacted. Mental health is an issue, even in the menopause arena.
All right. So, Patrice, we're giving away a ticket for the Harmony and Change workshop taking place on Saturday, the 25th of October, 2025. Yes. We're giving it away today. If we don't get a winner today, we're going to get a winner tomorrow. We get all week. However, on Saturday, the 18th of October, there will be a national conversation on menopause at Holy Cross Anglican Church in the Canon Neil Roach Parish Hall. It's free of charge. It starts at 10 a.m. It runs to 1 p.m. There's going to be two sessions, one with medical professionals and experts sharing insight, and then there's a second session with real-life menopause stories from women in our community. There'll also be interactive booths, explore wellness resources, support networks, and practical tools for thriving through menopause. This event, of course, is supported by Doctors Hospital, and it's just great. You know, you see the partners, the stakeholders engaging in the conversation. It means that we're moving in a great direction. We say thank you to Doctors Hospital, and of course, we say thank you to Holy Cross Anglican Church and the ACW, the Holy Cross Anglican Church Women Group.
Yes.
Very good. The guest speakers, the moderator, Mrs. Gandhi Thompson, I think Dorita Phillips, Quinnell Albury, Miss Bahamas International, Assistant Superintendent Freddie and Akriba Lightborn, Coach Renee Minus, and Sherry Stubbs. And of course, the ticket giveaway now, Harmony and Change Workshop, Menopause as Metamorphosis, Saturday, the 25th of October, 2025, at the Diplomat Center on Carmichael Road, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Now, that event has a cost. It's $95 with a copy of What the Butterflies Knew, and it's $75 without a copy of the book. Tell people how they can get in contact with you to purchase a ticket.
Okay. For the Harmony, and let me just explain what's the difference. The Harmony and Change Menopause session is a workshop for women that gives women the knowledge, the tools, and all of the skills that they need to be able to be in charge of their menopausal journey. A lot of women think that they just have to go through this and they have to suffer with these various symptoms. No, you don't. Women can have more control of their menopausal transition. And so on October 25th, the workshop will be held at the Diplomat Center, and persons who are interested in getting it, and we're encouraging women to invest in themselves to understand what's going on and how to help their body through the transition. For anyone who would like to get their tickets, they can give me a call. The number is 439-3242. That number again is 439-3242. And we are inviting organizations to invest in the women that work with them. We have a lot of issues in the workplace where people are frustrated sometimes with this menopausal woman who seems to be making everybody's life a living hell. And sometimes she's irritable. Sometimes she's dealing with anxiety or depression. Sometimes she's moody. And it's not because she wants to be that way. Or sometimes the woman hasn't slept for a whole week, but she has to show up 9 o'clock on that job because she needs to be there. And one of the things we are advocating for, and I'm advocating for, is support in the workplace. Whichever organizations that are out there listening, the women between 40 and 60 need the support. And when we support the women who work for us, because productivity is impacted, a woman cannot be at her best if she's tired, if she's frustrated, if she's dealing with anxiety and depression, and she still has to show up on the job and give 100%.
Absolutely.
She can't. She cannot. Not just productivity, but even safety. We have jobs. Mm-hmm. Where safety is a must and you have to be on your guard. But if a woman is tired, if a woman is frustrated, if she has to keep running to the bathroom, all these things that deal with menopause, then she can't give you 100%. She has to deal with the public. And you know, we complain a lot.
Absolutely. Before we get to the trivia question, let me point our audience to two articles in the papers recently. The first is from Eyewitness News in the media, 19th of September, 2025. Chairman of newly formed Productivity Task Force vows practical solutions for Bahamian businesses and workers. The chairman of the newly formed National Productivity Task Force says the initiative is focused on tackling everyday challenges faced by businesses and workers, turning practical ideas into actionable recommendations that support, quote, support growth and make a real difference in our economy. Edison Sumner, principal of Sumner Strategic Partners, was appointed to lead the task force, which is laying the groundwork for the Bahamas National Productivity Council.
I need to speak with them.
The second article is Sumner Productivity Task Force ahead of schedule in developing framework policies. And so, I just wanted to throw that in there, that those people who are interested in this subject, human resource managers in particular, please reach out to both the National Productivity Task Force and the organization Surviving and Thriving Through Menopause to talk, to discuss how we can ensure that this aspect of working life is considered in the formulation of their policies and strategies. So let's get to the ticket. To win this ticket, I got one ticket for the Harmony and Change Workshop, Menopause is Metamorphosis, taking place on Saturday, October the 25th. To win the ticket, I just need one correct answer. One correct answer. What day globally is known as Menopause Awareness Day? What day globally is known as Menopause Awareness Day? So, Ms. Lockhart, I want to say thank you for joining me this morning. I have to work tomorrow. I don't like this waking life. I don't like it, but we gotta go to work. Yes, ma'am. So I'm unable to attend the national conversation on menopause, but I'm sure it's going to be a great day. And I encourage Bahamian women and men to attend. I encourage Bahamian families to bring their daughters out, because preparation for menopause starts early in life, preparing your body for the change.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for your support. with this initiative of menopause education in our country.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And we'll see you soon. October's not done yet. We still have more time to talk.
Yes.
All right.
Have a great day.
Thank you much. Producer, let's go to a break. And when we get back from the break, we are going to be talking with Rudolph McKinney Jr. He is a certified wellness practitioner and counselor specializing in emotional healing and personal development. Stay tuned to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're On the Clock with Erin Green. We'll be right back.
Wait, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day. What?
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I is a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up come solid.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This October, let's come together for hope, support, and strength.
It's the Sister Breast Cancer Support Group Dollar Day, happening Friday, October 17th from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on the grounds of the Nassau Guardian, Carter Street, Oaksfield.
And the best part? With just $1, you can help make a difference in the fight against breast cancer. Every dollar counts towards awareness, education, and support for women battling this disease.
Come on out, drop a dollar, and stand with us for a cause that touches so many lives.
Join us on Friday, October 17th from 7 to 10 a.m. and let's turn every dollar into...
That's the Sister Breast Cancer Dollar Day, proudly sponsored by The Guardian Media Group, Star 106.5, and The Guardian Radio 96.9.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible with the brightest minds and leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
And wondering what dress to wear now. I say a little prayer for you. Stay in my heart and I will love you forever and ever. We never will part. Oh, how I love you. Together, together is how it must be. To live without you would only mean heartbreak for me.
Talk with Erin Green. Good morning. Welcome back. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. On the other side of the break, we gave out the question for the ticket giveaway to Harmony Chain of Change Workshop. Menopause is Metamorphosis, October Saturday, the 25th, at the Diplomat Center. To win the ticket, you just got to answer one question correctly. What day globally is known as Menopause Awareness Day? What day globally is known as Menopause Awareness Day? The numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-16-325-4259. 242-300-5720, toll-free for Family Island listeners, and the text line, 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. Producer, let's go to the caller right away before we get into the conversation with Rudolph McKinney Jr. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm calling to answer the question, please.
We ready.
Is it October 18th?
It is October 18th.
Oh, wow.
Awesome. So here's what I need you to do. Hold the line. Give the producer your name and number. The ticket will be ready for you downstairs at about 5 minutes past 12 today.
Thank you so very much.
No, thank you very much. Okay. This is the thing. We got to stick together. I can't wait to see you in the We Don't Care Club.
Yes.
Have a great day. Thank you for playing
the
game. Let's go to the Zoom Room producer, Mr. McKinney. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I am good, thank you. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm excited.
So am I. In fact, I tell you, I started off with a bit of a rough morning, but knowing that the opportunity to talk about a mental health conference and another opportunity for Bahamians to understand or to practice, you know, to develop different practices around mental health and wellness, and that in and of itself put me in a better mood. So how are you doing?
I'm great. I'm excited about this conference and how we can help to empower our people to deal and take care of themselves healthily.
Absolutely. Your work is backed by over 10 years of professional experience blending cognitive behavioral therapy, mindfulness, heart meditation, and trauma-informed techniques to help clients achieve balance, confidence, and lasting transformation. Tell us about Prophetic Mental Health Conference. Is this the first one? Is this a continuation of a series? Who are your guests? What are we going to be talking about? And then, of course, the most important things, the where and the when.
The Prophetic Mental Health Conference, this is not our first one. We've actually had two last year. They were both virtually done via Zoom. Our target audience mainly consists of spiritual people or people that have experienced what is called awakening, where they have unexplainable events that aren't necessarily answerable by modern medicine, especially in the West.
Mm-hmm.
So we help to cater to those folks to help them have coping mechanisms and know that they're not crazy, that they have a place to express exactly what they're going through and to receive help so that they can regain a sense of autonomy even when dealing with things not ordinarily perceivable.
Okay.
It's going to be this weekend at the Bahamas National Trust on the lovely island of Grand Bahama. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be from Friday till Sunday, Friday night at 6 p.m., Saturday starting at 9, and Sunday starting at
9. In fact, Friday is 6 to 9 p.m. Saturday is an all-day event. So tell us, what can we expect on each day? And, of course, Sunday is an afternoon event as well, 3 to 7.
Yes, indeed. Friday night, you can expect to have a little bit of a gathering, some food, get to meet some of the other participants and some of the panel. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be having a talk on grief and how to process grief healthily, the different types of grief, and just have a community orientation for Saturday because it's going to be probably of a heavy day.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday, we have a lineup of speakers, inclusive of Dr. Deborah Smith, Dr. Andy Lang, and Ms. Helen Clonaris and Tanika Smith.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking on mental health in general, religious trauma, spiritual autonomy, and we're going to be incorporating moments of exercise respectively into it, so you know that even if my brain can't process, Mm-hmm. If I start doing this exercise, it'll help me get out of that state so that I could process healthily.
I just wanted to say I really appreciated that the session is called Moment of Exercise, right? On the flyer. I appreciate the acknowledgement, right, that there is a connection between our physical wellness and our mental and psychological wellness.
Yes, indeed. Side note, a lot of times when you see spirit come upon people and they start the praise dancing, we don't often recognize the physicality of that and the importance of that to connecting to spirit. Usually people that go into that praise dance, they have a deeper experience and a deeper sense of processing, and we hardly ever tie the two together.
Okay, very interesting. So on the flyer, the topic listed for you is spiritual dissonance. What do you mean by spiritual dissonance?
Spiritual dissonance, you ever heard a song or that sound off? That don't feel nice.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. When you encounter something that you don't necessarily have a category for, and it sets you in a space of, oh my God, flight or fright, or just a serious sense of awe, until you learn more about it.
Let me tell you a quick story. Are you from Grand Bahama or are you from New Providence?
I'm from Grand Bahama.
Okay, well, there used to be a Chicken Unlimited on Mackey Street and Bar 20 Corner, right? Okay. And in the building where I think Chicken Unlimited was, next to the store, their New Covenant Baptist Church used to hold their church services there, right? Mm-hmm. As a little girl, I'm raised Anglican. But every once in a while, I would go to church with my aunt, who's Baptist, a New Covenant Baptist member. And I'll never forget this moment. To church with them, Reverend Simeon Hall was preaching. Mm-hmm. And there was a moment where the church got very, very exciting. Mind you, I'm a little girl, and I'm an Anglican, and I'm a St. Anne's and St. Agnes Anglican, so high mass Anglican, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so at some point in the sermon, Reverend Hall jumped up on the chair. You ever seen Michael Jackson jump up on the chair and put his foot on the back of the chair and drop the chair down slowly in a music? Reverend Simeon Hall did like that, like a superstar, and it stunned me. And like you say, fright or flight, I didn't know what was happening. I was a little scared. I wasn't sure what was happening, right? And for a moment, it caused me to sort of shy away from the Baptist experience.
Yeah.
And I developed kind of like a little prejudice. Because I'm a bougie QC high mass kind of girl. You know, but it took me a while to experience other churches and other practices of fellowship in the church. So not just the sermon and the liturgy, but how the community, right? How the community communes, how they communion. And they communion differently. And so it took me a while to understand, right? To feel the fullness of a different way to worship.
Yes, indeed. And that's a very, very good example. And once you gathered those tools, it made it easier to increase your tolerance level and also have
empathy,
conversation and empathy outside of your regular community. And so that's one of the goals of dealing with spiritual dissonance, because like you explained, I haven't grown up in the same environment, and some people are a little bit more sensitive than others.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will be seeing things that you're not. Mm-hmm. And so being able to develop that empathy one towards another helps in the long run to create a greater community, whereas we can talk to one another versus talking past one another and lessening the blame game and lessening the criticism and all that stuff. So, yeah.
Okay.
And Sunday is our kind of cool down. We're going to have a panel discussion. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do a quick walk through the Bahamas National Trust in Grand Bahama, just to talk about the importance of nature and any free-flowing talks that might happen.
All right. I love it. Incorporating, right, both the understanding of the intersection of physical health and mental health and wellness, but also acknowledging the impact that environment plays in yes. managing our health and wellness.
Yes,
now, ma'am. Is there a cost to attend?
There is a cost to attend. If you want to attend virtually, it is a cost of $35, and that's Saturday only.
Okay.
If you want to attend physically for the entire weekend, it is $75. If you want to just come for Saturday and Sunday, it'll be $50 at the door.
Okay. Now, for Christians and religious people who want to learn more about addressing mental health and wellness from a spiritual and religious perspective, is this a good place for them to come?
This is a very good place for them to come. Also to ask questions that they may have had that they've been shy to ask beforehand because the Sunday sessions aren't necessarily recorded.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a safe space to ask tough questions or explore ideas that they may have come across
mm-hmm.
so that they can be better empowered, especially as leaders, to answer or provide a space for those that they serve.
All right. Well, let's give the people the details again. But hold on. Let's pause. I got a caller on the line. Let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Great, I'm on. I'm glad we're talking about mental health, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you realize that the union about to almost strike, right? Our PM is 74 years of age.
Mm-hmm.
That's an old man. Why are you trying to stress out and give that man mental issues?
Boy, look here. The way these responsibility allowances set up? Yeah, you still there?
Guess what? You realize you're not supposed to take advantage of old people. You're supposed to take advantage of children, right?
Yeah, it's older persons month, but what if the old people taking advantage of the children? What are we to do?
Boy, I tell you, we are in a conundrum.
I say take them to the ocean and trip them down so when they fall, it don't hurt.
Yes, ma'am.
But thank you. Thank you for making those points, right? That's on the political side. But let me take it to a more general space. Mr. McKinney, in Grand Bahama, right, for working professionals in high-stress jobs, police officers, EMT, healthcare workers, even teachers, right? Firemen. What type of services are available in Grand Bahama for professionals, what we call psychosocial services? So for police who attend violent scenes, traffic fatalities, for Immigration and Defense Force officers, right, that are doing a very intense job with a lot of volatility, Immigration and Defense Force officers that may have to recover deceased people, dead bodies from the ocean. What type of services are available on the island of Grand Bahama? And then let's prep the next caller.
Okay. The main service that's available that offers that diverse range of expertise and help
mm-hmm.
is the resort in the Bacatown area.
Okay.
They have the ability to aid with providing coping mechanisms and at least hearing you out. And if it's something that's beyond them, they're able to refer you or provide whatever services you might need that they may not offer.
Okay.
So they also work in tandem with the Bahama Psychological Association
mm-hmm.
to ensure that Bahamians have the help that they need.
Awesome. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
My lady, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Good. I'm glad you straightened out that gentleman who just called. I'm talking about the Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
The Prime Minister was running for Prime Minister now
mm-hmm.
for at least 20 years.
Yeah.
So he should know when time to retire. Hey?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like Fred Mitchell always say, time for us to go and give the young generation their prop, okay?
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, he's sorry for him. And the way he scored the show, you know what it is? How come he could get on, my lady, and I try.
Okay. What you going to do next time? You going to try 32362. No, that's what you want. You're going to try 325-4316. I think that's the speedy number.
Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. No, thank you very much. And keep trying, okay?
Yeah, but one thing, he humbled, you know, then explained it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Lord, what are we going to do?
Yes, okay? Sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you for reminding us that the Prime Minister is a whole person, right? He is a whole person. We're going to transition into a little politics in a second. Texas said, Aaron, I visualized you in that church service, and then I wondered how I would react in a true African ritual with painted faces and chanting. Who are we? That's the magic of... This is who we are. That's the only answer to the question, right? But who are we? And that is the beauty of this journey, is discovering who we are, right? So, McKinney, I talk about traffic a lot as a model or to use as a tool to examine other things. Because in traffic, without a properly managed traffic system, people experience both individual and collective dysfunction, psychological dysfunction, right? And
yes,
and then we must realize that the management of traffic, right? What traffic is, cars on the road, first of all, it's a tool, right? Having a license is a privilege, not a right. But if you meet the criteria to enjoy the privilege, you have a right to enjoy it, right?
Yeah.
The roadways are for the effective and efficient movement of goods, people and services, primarily, right? But secondarily, it operates like a communication. Cars on the road are supposed to be communicating with each other, right? It's obviously not verbal, but I see you coming, right?
Yeah.
I determine whether there is a room for me to slow down to allow you to enter traffic. You must assess the rate of speed the traffic is moving at, so when you enter it, you don't disrupt it, right?
Yeah.
The turn signal is communication. And so when these things break down, not only do we lose a tool that we can use to order our individual and collective lives, but we create a dysfunction that is experienced individually and collectively, that people, though, have to process individually, because there's no collective space to talk about it, to talk about the fact that the people who are responsible for upholding those specific laws are that professionals, people who have to get special licenses to drive vehicles, get those licenses and then act like they've been licensed to do whatever they want on the road. It is driving people mad. And for the people that do not have the tools to understand what's happening,
mm-hmm.
they can develop a psychosis. Because I have heard people approaching an intersection. I've been in the car with somebody approaching an intersection who said, "Don't stop your car then," as they proceeded through the stop sign without stopping.
Yep. Even if that's a temporary psychosis just while you're driving, like you said, you have so many expectations and so much past experience that you're in a different headspace when you drive.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very dehumanizing sometimes and very depersonalizing in that you only focus on your car and where you're trying to get to go,
mm-hmm.
and also the other cars around you that may be going in the same direction.
And it's what you use, dehumanizing, and there was another word that you use to the
personalizing,
right? Because and demoralizing,
yes.
Because on the road I have the right of way.
Yeah,
If on the road continually people ignore the right of way and risk injury or damage to property when they do it, that wears down on people. And they say, well, when will my authority be respected?
Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
Mr. McKinney, I got another call on the line, and then I got to talk some politics, man. I got to get there, or else my head ain't going to feel right for the day. Let's go to the phone line. I got it. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning to your guests.
Morning.
Good morning.
And thank you for highlighting the necessity for nonverbal communication on the streets, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's what's appalling for me. Pedestrian versus car traffic. So pedestrians just haphazardly walking into the road, mm-hmm. taking their own times, full able-bodied men, partakes across the road better than them, and they're looking at you as if they have the right to impede you.
Mm-hmm.
So which is it? Also, voicing on the Blue Road from a side corner.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then also, I don't know if you go to St. Barnabas, you know, but they have a little private preschool there, and my little son goes there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, John Shea seems to think that he can annex the road, whereby, for the first, I've seen, like, the delivery trucks block the road, but this morning, the guy actually was blocking the road with a Ford F1, whatever truck it was.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy with the forklift was actually putting it on in the road. So, I mean, which is it? It's really sickening. I don't know if we put up with this, but, you know, the lack of enforcement, you know, silence, they say, brings consent.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a bunch of madness going out there. Nobody seems to really care anymore. But I like to know the legality of a pedestrian versus the vehicle, because someone could easily, you know, if I'm riding the road in the night or whatever, somebody who wants to do me harm could be in the road trying to impede me and get me to stop for a reason. So then will the government start to enforce pedestrians not impeding drivers and harassing drivers? But simply even not, if you blow your horn now to tell somebody come up the road or come out the way, it's a problem.
They will fight you.
This is not a school children. These are big grown men incapacitated by drugs or stupefied or superized by drugs or alcohol or whatever, but it's madness.
Mm-hmm.
I just like for your commentary. It's really madness, man.
Absolutely. See, sometimes you got to confuse the enemy. So when I see people in the road like that, I say, be safe, baby. You confuse... No, it's not quite confuse the enemy, but you stun them by showing them a love or an acknowledgement, right? Or an appreciation that they don't normally experience in their daily lives. And it stuns them. It makes them sort of smile, and they will pick up their pace or change their attitude a little bit. But let me tell you a story that'll stand your head up. Many, many years ago, over 20 years ago, a young boy of Haitian descent was killed by a driver on the side of the road, right? The driver was fined $400. Okay? The driver was fined $400. A little Haitian boy lost his life. So your pedestrians out there, you want to play the power. And you should, you know. If you use the roadway properly and the drivers use the roadway properly, we acknowledge, right, when a pedestrian is in the road, you all refuse to use the pedestrian crossing properly. I'd like to talk to the people who work at the central bank or who use the parking lot opposite the central bank and use that's the balcony house exit from the parking lot to cross the road to the central bank or to pass the central bank. Did you realize that they put a pedestrian crossing on Market Street North at the main exit to the central bank? Why would you all insist on not using the pedestrian crossing? And what am I as a citizen supposed to think? How is my country being run if the people who work at Central Bank don't understand the importance of using the pedestrian crossing where it was put? You're on work with compliance, right? See, all I'm saying is the things that madden people and make them wonder, what's happening here? How am I supposed to make sense of this world? Anyway, Mr. McKinney, I'm so glad that you've created a space for people to engage subjects like this, topics like this. Again, the Prophetic Mental Health Conference taking place in Grand Bahama at the Bahamas National Trust, but also accessible via Zoom, Friday the 17th of October, 6 to 9 p.m., Saturday the 18th of October, 9 to 5 p.m., Sunday the 19th of October, 3 to 7 p.m., featuring Rudolph McKinney Jr., Dr. Andy Lang, Tanitka, Moment of Exercise, Dr. Deborah Smith, and Helen Klenaris. Thank you so much, Mr. McKinney.
Thank you too, Ariane. Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, I jealous the Grand Bahama again. Producer, one more time. I jealous again, man. Y'all keep doing important things.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. Have a great day. Okay,
you
let me...
Too.
Oh, you... Good morning. It's in the Zoom room. Oh, okay. I thought I missed somebody in the Zoom room. Let's get to the text line. LOL, Aaron, I visualize you in that church service, and then I wonder, we read that one. Good stuff. Another one. The question is, Aaron, does a business have the right to block traffic? No, they don't. That's why you see this, the yellow designation in the road say loading zone. That's where you get to put your vehicle to offload and load cargo, things, people. No. It's just a complete and utter lack of enforcement. Here's another one. Good day. Expect anarchy. The system doesn't work for us. The PM is the head, and he showed us that yesterday. Okay. Once again, see? So glad that we're talking about mental health. At the Future of Democracy conference, at least three presenters touched on Article 73.1A of the Bahamas Constitution, which essentially says that the Governor General must appoint the MP who is the leader with the most support in the House. Not the MP that has the most support, but the leader of the party that has the most seats in the House, right? See, if you don't understand what that means, you could be like me going crazy because you don't understand why your government operates the way it does. But it turns out, with some historic and modern day interpretations of the Constitution and that article, the PM is the head. And the political culture is showing you repeatedly, you don't care about these mechanisms and entities and institutions. The PM is the head. There's another text. Good morning, beloved. Should you change all these offenses, then you won't have the Bahamas, okay? One must be a licensed defensive driver over here. Texter, why would you leave such a beautiful nugget hidden in there? It is cultural, deeply cultural. It is so deeply cultural. We're still stuck in the counterculture. I want you to look at the Junkanoo discussion right now and how the proponents, how the major players in that discussion are behaving and acting. And then I want to ask yourself, think about the ages of the people involved and ask yourself what their favorite movie is. What their favorite movie is. See, because a lot of us, we're still caught in the counterculture, because remember when all the laws said that black people were only 3/5 human? And that the white people that owned us could do whatever they want to us. And they took away our language and our connection to culture and history, right? So when they did that, we're still stuck in that space. We don't realize that we are in charge now. And if we don't like a rule, we could fix it. If we don't like a rule, we could fix it. But I think, personally, because of a culture of political patronage, right? They can't allow us to believe that we could fix things ourselves. We must go through them to get to the solution. Well, that's familiar, right? That's familiar. Good. We must go through them. So it's cultural. You're right. It is possible that if you change all of these things, then who would we be? Because we are pirates. And even the indigenous peoples who lived in and through these islands, they were constantly on the move, running from larger forces, right? Maybe it is a part of us. Some people say a group of Bahamian drivers is called an embarrassment. I guess the old Caribbean people would say it's called a federation, a cacophony of mess. But anyway, there's lots of things that people are always discussing in the news, in the media, we hear it on the radio, people are left feeling despondent, frustrated, disempowered, out of control. And so thank you to the Grand Bahama Mental Health. I'm looking at the paper today, and we see a story in the Tribune, daughter finds note left by mom who committed suicide. We see the increase in suspected suicides. Although I've not seen recently in the media a determination that the act, when it occurred, was actually suicide. Not this specific one. But there are lots of things that have people attempting to manage their mental health. Once again, thank you, Rudolph McKinney. As we end the show, I'm just going to go through some headlines. Rick Fox, quote, would renounce Canadian citizenship, close quotes, for local political stage. Why you just, anyway. I am in community with the Fox family, so I got to measure how I say this. Would you renounce Canadian citizenship just for the local stage, just to be Bahamian? Because I think that's the first step. The people who wish to lead us have to commit to a life, right? So that you govern as if the Bahamas is the only place you will ever be allowed to live. Right? You have to govern like this is it for you. There's nothing else. You can't go on vacation and enjoy other people's countries and other people's development. The people who govern us should govern us like they cannot ever leave the Bahamas. And so anybody who meets the criteria has the right to run. But the question is, would you renounce Canadian citizenship just to be a Bahamian? It's way that you know I like it. I like it. Producer, play one song. I mean, make it Bahamian. Anything you want. Anything you want. I wanted to touch on that thing, you know, that was in the news last night. Because you can't call me them names and then apologize to me. You have to bring the whole church. You have to bring the whole... Producer, play something sweet and Bahamian for me. You have to bring the whole... Apologize to me. And so, as the PLP set to ratify candidates tonight, I would like to say this. Remember that you are at the top, and what you do trickle down. You set the tone. So if you're serious about safe and peaceful elections, if you were serious about removing the vileness of this politic from this place, then you do it. It can only start with you. Shut down the war rooms. Shut them down. Turn them into church rooms. Do something. Anyway, producer, I like it. Thank you. You guys, stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newey is up next.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.